middle of the largest mass extinction of species in 65 million years. The rainforest is being cut down at the rate of an acre per second. And the driving force behind all of this is animal agriculture, cutting down the forest to graze animals and to grow soybeans, genetically engineered soybeans to feed to the cows and pigs and chickens and factory farm fish.
Keegan, can you comment on this, how livestock actually contributes to the extinction of other parts of the species on a mass scale?
Yeah, you know, it's the destruction that's happening to entire ecosystems. You know, as Dr. Tuttle says, massive areas of the rainforest, Amazonian rainforest in particular, are being cleared for cattle production. You know, they look at, you know, up to 91% of Amazon destruction is linked to animal agriculture in some way, whether clearing land to create grazing or for growing soy and corn that is then fed to those livestock. But it's also, when you look in the United States, we have public land grazing, where animals are grazed on federal lands, and those animals then compete with native fauna for vegetation, and then they're also predated on by wolves and coyotes, bears and bobcats. And so the ranchers put pressure on government officials to exterminate, and that's why we've seen a decrease in wolf population and why wolves are being targeted, because of their threat or perceived threat to the cattle industry.
You know, there's been a lot of discussion about the amount of water it takes to grow almonds. Can you talk about how meat consumption compares to vegetable consumption of water?
Absolutely. You know, 10% of all water in California is used for almonds, which is a tremendous amount of water. But again, just alfalfa alone, a crop that is not consumed by human beings, that is fed for livestock, consumes 15%. California produces 82% of the world's entire almonds. This is, again, 10% of California's water is feeding the 82% of the world's almond demands. And the other important fact is that Americans aren't consuming, and Californians in particular, aren't consuming 9 ounces of almonds per day, which is not the case for animal agriculture. Animal products, we're consuming 9 ounces per person per day in the United States. Again, the water footprint is vastly greater because of the quantity that we're actually consuming. It takes about 1,500 gallons of water to produce a pound of almonds, which is a tremendous amount of water. But again, it's the quantity that we're actually consuming.
I want to ask you about the response of environmental groups to your argument. In Cowspiracy, you interview members of some of the nation's leading environmental groups. When you ask them, what is the leading cause of environmental degradation, most declined to comment at any length.
The leading cause of environmental degradation is...
We need to address that as well.
It's not up to the Department of Water Resources.
Hard to actually target, like, one thing.
I don't necessarily know what it is.
That's a clip from Cowspiracy. Kip, your assessment of how the environmental groups have handled this issue of livestock's effect on the environment.
It's really frustrating. That's where the film took a turn for looking to these organizations to tell us the answers and what they're doing about this. And to find out they're really not doing anything. You know, you go onto these organizations' websites and their mission statements, and they don't mention the greatest destruction across the board. It's like a one-stop shop for nearly every single environmental destruction that's happening today is from this one industry, yet you do not hear about this, or they don't want to talk about this. And the interviews we have in the film, you know, a lot of people, when they, you know, they see them, they're laughing. But if it's not so serious, it'd be a lot more humorous, but it is, it's very serious. And these are the organizations we have to look at to step up and tell the truth, just to share the information of what's really going on.
I want to turn to Will Potter, who reports on animal rights and environmental movements. He's the author of Green is the New Red, an insider's account of a social movement under siege. In this clip from your film, Cowspiracy, Will Potter discusses the government's repression of animal rights activists.
The animal agriculture industry is one of the most powerful industries on the planet. I think most people in this country are aware of the influence of money and industry on politics, and we really see that clearly on display with this industry in particular. Most people would be shocked to learn that animal rights and environmental activists are the number one domestic terrorism threat, according to the FBI.
And why is that?
It's a difficult question to answer, why these groups are at the top of the FBI's priorities. I think a big part of it is that they, more than really any other social movements today, are directly threatening corporate profits.
That's Will Potter in the film Cowspiracy. And Keegan, if you could respond to that and end with why you call the film Cowspiracy.
You know, there's a tremendous amount of repression that activists face for whistleblowing against this industry. You know, there's a series of ag gag laws that have been passed around the United States that criminalize exposing the atrocities being committed against animals and the environment on factory farms. And this is because the government and this industry work hand in hand oftentimes. This industry is so powerful it can put pressure on Congress to pass legislation that doesn't benefit consumers and only benefits the industry. We joked around about the title Cowspiracy for a while because it just seemed so ridiculous that nobody would talk about this issue. But, you know, it really starts to come out, and it's something that we explore in the film, you know, in depth, that this issue is so rooted in so many environmental ills, as Kip said. You know, no matter what issue you care about, whether it's ocean dead zones, species extinction, habitat destruction, rainforest destruction, literally the list goes on. Animal agriculture is at the forefront of the issue. Why aren't these organizations talking about it? And again, it's something that we explore in depth in the film, and we really encourage people to go to our website, Cowspiracy.com, to find out more and to look at all the facts. We have a fact sheet on our website, Cowspiracy.com, that has all the information that we used in the film.
Well, I want to thank you both, Keegan Kuhn and Kip Anderson, award-winning directors of the documentary film Cowspiracy, The Sustainability Secret. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Maté, as we move now into our last segment.
Last month, the website The Intercept revealed it's quite easy to be deemed a suspected terrorist at a U.S. airport. A leaked checklist used by the Transportation Security Administration shows an expansive list of suspicious signs for screening passengers: yawning, fidgeting, whistling, throat clearing, and staring at one's feet. All of these, according to the TSA, are considered behaviors that indicate stress or deception. Well, now The Intercept has revealed who the program actually targets: not terrorists, but undocumented immigrants. Taking a five-week period at a major U.S. airport, The Intercept found that 90% of all those arrested were detained for being in the country illegally. Not a single passenger was arrested for ties to terrorism. The overwhelming detention of undocumented immigrants bolsters criticism that government screening programs have targeted passengers with racial profiling.
I hesitate to clear my throat here, but they've also cost taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars. The checklist is part of the TSA's controversial program known as the Screening of Passengers by Observation Techniques, or SPOT. It employs specially trained officers known as behavior detection officers to watch and interact with passengers going through screening. The TSA has trained and deployed thousands of these officers, spending more than $900 million on this program since its inception in 2007. For more, we're joined by the reporter who broke the story. Jonna Winter is a reporter with The Intercept. Her latest piece headlined, TSA Behavior Detection Program Targeting Undocumented Immigrants, Not Terrorists. So explain how, and welcome to Democracy Now!
Thanks for having me. Well, we looked at, to be clear, this is just a five-week period at one major international airport in 2007. We don't know if this is still what's going on, although all of my sources currently at TSA say it is. But if you look through what happened during this time period, so 429 times a behavior detection officer interacted with a passenger they thought might be suspicious, meaning those same indicators on that checklist, like your luggage is heavier than it appears to be, which is me and everyone. So then out of that group, 47 were referred to law enforcement. Out of the 47, 16 were arrested in total. 14 were for being in the country illegally. And that's about 3.75% of their entire work product for 5 weeks resulted in an arrest. And they were for people being in the country illegally.
How did racial profiling factor into these detentions, do you think?
Well, according to my sources, within the program, or people who have worked in the program in the past, or any of the numerous oversight agencies that have been looking at this program for quite a while, the way that it was designed and the model it was based off of was related to what Customs and Border Protection was doing. This is a very effective way for finding drugs or people being smuggled across the border. You're looking for fake IDs, you're looking for fraudulent travel, you know, any kind of document. You can, according to my sources, look for these signs, like confusion. People who are wearing pretty similar identical outfits that are brand new, and luggage, all the signs that appear on the checklist for terrorism. But that's not how you find terrorists. It's just how you find undocumented people in the country. So my sources say from the very beginning, this was never going to find terrorists.
And so what is the TSA saying about these documents? And are they saying that you are now arming the terrorists with the documents of how they seek them out?
I have no idea, because when I reach out to them for comment, I hear they have been skiing and unavailable for 5 weeks, or they do not respond. Last night, when I got into Penn Station at about 11:30, all of a sudden, the one TSA spokesman started favoriting all of my tweets on Twitter. And I was like, seriously, I'm still waiting for your comment. I asked, here's what I have specifically. Do these numbers indicate current trends, nationwide trends? I have no idea what they're saying. They have been defending this program that everyone else has said is based on complete junk science and has spent over $1 billion basically doing the job of Customs and Border Protection, which is not the mission of the TSA.
Well, can you talk about this, the TSA encroaching on the mandate of another agency and then possibly jeopardizing the rights of people who are undocumented but not trying to cross a border, per se?
Well, in some cases, they are trying to cross the border, because once you go through an airport, you know, sort of screening point. Yeah. But for the last 6 years, since its inception almost, the GAO, DHS Inspector General's Office, various congressional committees have said, looks like you're targeting undocumented immigrants, but TSA is this thing where they classify everything as sensitive security information. It's like their own invented classification. So they couldn't release anything. In the GAO reports, you just see like redacted, redacted, TSA would not supply the documents. People have long been saying that this is what's happening. We just now have numbers to show that here it is, where are your terrorists?
Well, Jonna Winter, we want to thank you very much for being with us. A reporter with The Intercept, her latest piece is headlined TSA Behavior Detection Program Targeting Undocumented Immigrants, Not Terrorists. And we'll link to it at democracynow.org. That does it for our program. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Ravi Karan, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Anna Ozbeck, Sam Riddell, Mike DiFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, our engineers. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Hugh Grant, Jessica Lee, David Prude, Vesta Godarz, and our camera crew, John Randolph, Kieran Prudmeadows, and Jose Miranda. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Mate for another edition of Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report.
Please state the nature of the medical emergency. This is Robert Picardo, the doctor from Star Trek Voyager. And I'm prescribing a weekly dose of Destinies, the voice of science fiction, to be taken orally, that's A-U-R-A-L-L-Y, every Friday at 11:30 p.m. on 90.1 FM, WUSB Stony Brook. Computer, end program.
Good evening. It is 6:01 p.m. on Tuesday night. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM on the dial. Up next is Off the Wall. All right. Hello.
Oh, hi.
Are you there?
I think so, yes.
Good. Okay. Hey, it's time for Off the Wall. And good evening. Happy Tuesday to everyone.
It is a happy Tuesday. You can tell by the sound of our voice that we're thrilled beyond measure.
Absolutely. We're incredibly thrilled today. It is, I guess, the second week of the Spring Fun Drive here at WUSB.
That's and true.
It's slightly foggy and misty out.
No, actually, it's the third week, because last week was the lacrosse game. And the week before that was the kickoff.
Yeah, you're right. So we're 3 weeks in.
Time flies, they say.
Got it. Okay, you continue. I'm going to find you a paperclip. Make sure you're in stereo.
I don't have to be in stereo, Kyle. Like, I'm fine in one ear or half an ear or, you know, just distantly in the background. Or
there's this really amazing effect going on in my head where there's like a lower gravelly version of you in my right ear. It's distinct from my left ear. I love it. It's a beautiful thing.
A lot of people describe my voice that way. Unfortunately, I can't share this because I don't have a headphone. I have ears, but I don't have a way of hearing myself except from what's bouncing off the walls in this place.
And bouncing off the walls?
That should be the new name of our show, but bouncing off the wall, right?
Yeah, bouncing off the wall.
Bouncing off the wall. Okay, I like that. Wow. Okay, so this is Emmanuel, and that's Kyle. We're here for Bouncing Off the Wall on this Tuesday night. Fundraising edition. But there's nobody to answer phones, is there?
No, actually, you're incorrect. Our good friend Finn has just entered the building.
Oh, good. Okay, Finn's here.
Yes, he's assisting us, and we'll maybe check in with him in a little bit once he's settled in. I think he's one of the many volunteers here at the station that is helping answer phones. And he's here for us. And he's actually
been here all day. You know, this is like a Finn sandwich, because we had Finn before us, before Democracy Now! He did the afternoon show. And he's going to be on after us during Finn's Revolution. And he doesn't know this yet, but the 9 o'clock DJ has already... No, the door's locked, Finn. He is not showing up. And, in fact, all the way until 3 o'clock in the morning, the slots are open. So Finn will be on for a good long time. And we expect him to raise quite a bit of cash for the station during this fundraiser. Oh, speaking of which, we did very well last week at Whole Foods, the Whole Foods fundraiser.
I heard it was pretty successful. People
you were there too. We were all there. I think everybody from the station showed up.
It was cool. It was really, really kind of neat to have a bunch of people at a place like a grocery store. It's kind of a regular, everyday thing, and I don't know, it was a good ambiance. It was good to see people.
We raised over $4,000 in a single day. And we met so many cool people as well. Basically, Whole Foods was kind enough to donate 5% of their take for the day to WUSB, and it just was a phenomenal success. And we had musicians down there. We recorded a bunch. We broadcast some. And it was just really, really cool. You're making all kinds of horrible expressions whenever I talk. Do I sound that bad? If you can stop laughing for a second, just let me know how bad I sound. I can't hear myself. I have no headphones. I have no idea. You know, I could just take your headphones, and you could fly blind or fly deaf or whatever the term is.
I'm so sorry. I can't even begin.
Why in God's name don't we have two pairs of headphones when there's two microphones? I don't understand that. Or at least rip them in half and give one ear to one person and one ear to the other. Would that be so hard? Talking to nobody is what
no,
I feel like.
No, you sound great.
Which is why you're laughing ever so hard, because I sound so great. I can only imagine what my voice... What? Am I, like, echoing or something? Am I backwards masking? Do I sound like a chipmunk? What? What is it?
I don't know. I don't want to make you... I can't...
Self-conscious? Too late. That train has left. I'm already feeling that way. Describe.
Like the chipmunk effect. I don't know what it is.
How does an analog mic have a chipmunk effect?
But it's really low and gravelly. Anyway, we raised a substantial amount of money for the radio station, which is really good to do in a fell swoop like that. And this fantastic kind of exhibition, little like block party almost at the grocery store, was a great way to augment the fund drive.
Well, it shows how the community really steps up for this place as well as the campus. This radio station serves so many different people. Throughout the world, in fact. You know, we used to say throughout the Suffolk County area, but with the advent of the internet and all that, we can be heard any place. You know, there's actually no reason why we couldn't do a fundraiser like that in a different part of the country or a different part of the world, even.
True.
If we have listeners, and we do. We get mail from people. We get mail from England. We get mail from the Netherlands.
I would not be surprised if WUSB had a satellite fundraiser somehow. Maybe in the future. Maybe that'll be a useful way to do it.
You know what? How about we have a little competition here? Well, not a competition, but just kind of a challenge. You write to us, otw@2600.com, from your particular part of the world. It can be in this country, it can be in a different country. And we will consider having some kind of an event in your area. It'd be interesting, don't you think? I mean, a place where most people have never heard of us, but they have heard of radio, and they have heard of the United States, and we'll just explain that those two things come together with WUSB, and won't you donate something to us and keep us going? And we'll get a bunch of new listeners.
I would not be surprised if that was a fantastic success, and it's a great first step into these kinds of satellite fundraising things. Tonight we have a couple gifts. I just wanted to mention these again. Yeah, no, at the different levels, let's see.
Oh, for our listeners.
Yeah, do you remember these? We talked about these last week. There's the WUSB, as in Bumblebee, at the...
you know, there's pictures in the other room of these things, too.
They're great.
It's really good. It should be on our website, I think.
I believe the correct term is visual aids.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, at the $90 and 10 cent level... you can become a Radiothon Club member. The next level up is the Sea Squirrel level.
That's, sea Squirrel?
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a Sea Squirrel.
Well, the squirrels that are on campus here, I guess they get indoctrinated to some degree. Especially, and so the Sea Wolf mental, the Sea Wolf... What do you call it? Prerogative, exigence.
Nice words, but it's a damn squirrel.
They adopt it.
It's a squirrel. They don't live in the sea.
Right. Okay. So they're not sea-worthy squirrels.
And the ones that live here destroy our wires in the ceiling. So if you want to get your revenge, yes. A $250 pledge makes you a sea squirrel for a year, but you don't get to chew up our wires.
It is a good reminder. Gosh, I'm losing it here. okay, so the next one up from the sea squirrel that gets you the 1 year membership in the Radiothon. That's $250 if you're interested in that. Is the Sea Wolf. Which is the mascot here at Stony Brook, and that's a 5-year USB membership.
I don't think that exists either. I don't think there's an animal called a sea wolf.
It's disputed, but around here on the Stony Brook campus, there are a few, and we've got that level at $500. So there's also a 10-year for a $1,500 pledge, and that was named after a dinosaur, and I cannot pronounce the Latin. Or scientific name, mind you. Let's see. And the last is a lemur, lifetime lemur, for $5,000. And let me tell you, it really doesn't matter any pledge level. $5,000 is quite a bit of money. And a lifetime, boy, well, that says it all. So these are great pledge levels to kind of shoot for. Maybe you can pool together with a couple other listeners, maybe some people you know, maybe talk about some of the programs might be interested in contributing and being a part of this. So see what you can do, and give us a call, 631-632-6901.
That's correct, yeah, 631-632-6901 is our phone number. I see Finn's already on the phone.
He's not shaking. He's shaking his head no.
I saw him just a second ago talking on the phone, so... Well, maybe he's just doing that for our benefit to make it seem like the calls are rolling in, and hopefully they are rolling in.
I can't remember. I'll try to remember to how exactly I can patch him in. We'll check in with him later, but I want to tell a story.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of 631-632-6901, I had the great opportunity to help with some of the wiring here, and I had a hand in making the phone line get restored.
That's you. You did that.
Yeah, I contributed to that.
It might sound like the other phone line, but folks, no, this is huge because for a few weeks, remember that show where we didn't know how many calls we were actually getting and they were going to the wrong line? That's because somebody swapped out the phone here and all the lines were messed up and going to the wrong place. And we were missing a line for the longest time until you did something.
That's right. I brought a spare battery for some test equipment, and we had a little micro work party, as there are several. In fact, every day, every week, it seems, there is a funky, cool get-together of like-minded individuals here at the station that want to improve something, and there's a lot of exciting things getting done as far as archiving history and improving some of the infrastructure and fixing these things. So I participated in that. I helped get the original line back together so we won't have those mix-ups anymore, and the original phone line goes to the right extension as labeled, all that good stuff. So, it's a little thing, but I got to see some of the damage up in the ceiling, and let me tell you, it's pretty remarkable. Those rodents are relentless, and they have really done a number on the system here.
Why? Why us? What did we ever do to them that they come into our ceiling and destroy our wires? It's really, and because they're going to be destroying this building pretty soon, nobody cares about fixing anything. So we got to kind of do it ourselves.
It's that kind of situation where we're looking at a facility that's really. Going to be, it sort of is mothballed at the moment. Mm-hmm. I think mothballed is an okay term to use.
Yes.
But it is still functional. And what you have is different quirks and things like that that I was just referring to. But we're happy to help. And there's that's basically emblematic of the station itself, is there's a lot of really dedicated people that are producers that come in and put together programming. They do teaching. There's stuff constantly as far as training and getting people familiar with those quirks.
Can I just say though? Just
oh yeah.
So people don't think we're just saying the same thing over and over again. Where we are now and where we were, say, 1 year ago, are phenomenally different places. I think we're in a much better place now. Not physically, we're in the same crappy place right now physically, but as far as where the station is in its history, there is a lot more momentum, a lot more projects being undertaken and finished, and people really diving into challenges, and that is what makes a place like this thrive. And WUSB is always going to be relevant. Forget what you hear from people that say, oh, nobody listens to the radio anymore. It's so untrue. So many people listen to the radio. It's just they're not listening to the crappy radio, and there's no reason for them to, because all of that commercial garbage is so passé and doesn't serve anybody. However, a radio station like WUSB, where you can hear interviews with your favorite musicians, you can hear music you would never hear anyplace else. Think about it. How do you ever get to hear new music unless somebody introduces you to it? Yeah, there's the internet. The internet is pretty big. There's a lot out there, a lot of noise, and you have to figure it all out yourself. And unless you have somebody guiding you to the cool places, you're going to get lost pretty quickly. USB is kind of like your guide to many different worlds, including what you can find on the internet, but also guides to history, guides to alternative ways of thinking, news, even sports, all sorts of things. They all come your way, and that's why leaving this radio station on in the background, whether you're on Long Island or in Peru, you'll get something out of it in the course of any day.
631-632-6901, 631-632-WUSB.
That's right. And in Long Island, or at least in Suffolk County, you don't have to dial the 631. So you just have to, and that won't last. That's not going to last much longer, you know.
So if you're local, 632-6901, give
because
us a call.
Of all the new area codes they keep introducing, I understand they're going to introduce another one at some point in the future, and we will have to dial 631 on every call we make, even if we're in 631.
Is that so?
A lot of the country is like that already. 10-digit dialing, they call it, even though it's really 11-digit because you have to dial the 1 first. It's annoying. It really is. And it's not done properly. It's not designed the right way. It's a waste of time.
Yeah, I'm familiar. No, I can think of a couple examples from back where I'm from.
They do that in Seattle?
Yeah, a fair bit. There's really some funny stuff. Well, mainly because of the population centering in the Puget Sound region, some of the area codes go around it, kind of like a C or something,
right.
and so on and so forth. So that is absolutely true.
Used to be back in the old days.
So enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah, in the old days, you know, you actually had a better system where if say you were local, and in fact, you see this inside universities and inside companies, you only have to dial, say, the last 4 digits because it's assumed that you want to dial somebody in your community or in your organization. So here on campus, for instance, the number is 632-6901. You only have to dial 2-6901. And the reason you have to dial the 2 is because we're so big, we have 2 exchanges. So the way it used to be in the past, a small community would only have 1 exchange. So you dial the last 4 digits of that exchange, you'd reach people in that community. If you wanted to dial outside, you would dial a 1 first, I think, and then the exchange and then the phone number. It's getting more cumbersome. We have to dial all these digits now. Of course, you know, most people put them on this speed dial, so they don't even know how many digits they're dialing or what the digits are. But it just, to me, it's not the most efficient way to do it.
That's true. Yeah. Well, it's an interesting evolved system that is just sort of built on top of one thing over history. And, well, some of these things don't carry over, I guess.
Yes. Oh, I also have a note. Is Finn able to hear us? Is he bobbing his head up and down? He can. Okay, because he hasn't noticed yet. We found more of those Kevin Mitnick books from the other fundraiser that were not given away, the other radio station, that is. This is from 2011. Kevin Mitnick, the probably most famous computer hacker in the world, signed these for us back in 2011. We actually saw him about a week or so ago in New York. He's doing well.
He is
lecturing all over the place.
Yeah.
On his way to Dominican Republic. Really, really cool to catch up. And
It was fantastic too.
Yeah, we'll be seeing more of him, and hopefully he'll be at some of our conferences and on the radio shows. But we do have a few more of these books that we gave away a couple of weeks ago. And what we're offering tonight is an autographed book of Kevin Mitnick's tale, his story, hardcover book, about Ghost in the Wires.
Yeah, that's the title, Ghost in the Wires.
And he has signed those books. And you know what? I'm going to throw this in, too. For those of you who pledge tonight, who call 631-632-6901 and pledge $100 to get that book.
Right now.
Kyle and myself will also sign the book. And we'll sign it to you, to your name. If you pay by credit card and we run the card and it goes through and alarms don't go off, and if you pay by cash, if we get the cash, as soon as we do that, we will, on a separate page so we don't ruin Kevin's signature.
Yeah, maybe on the back cover or back inside or something.
Dear listener, where listener is your name, thank you so much. Something, we'll surprise you. And we'll sign it, Emmanuel and Kyle, us.
I think that's great. I'm up for that. I'll do it.
631-632-6901. It's a special offer for those of you who listen to the show between 6 and 7 p.m. on Tuesdays here on WUSB 90.1 FM.
It is important that people call right now, 631-632-6901. We've got regular station pledge levels for the radio memberships and all of that good stuff, as well as a few items that that we've thrown in. We offered it a couple weeks ago. It is The Ghost in the Wires hardback book.
Have you read that book? It's a great book. It really is. I read it on a plane.
I read Art of Deception. I have not gotten to The Ghost in the Wires book.
See, his other books were more or less how-tos, but this book is his story, which he was not allowed to tell as part of his supervised release back in 2000 when he got out of prison. He wasn't allowed to, quote-unquote, profit from his activities, even though everybody wanted to know, what exactly did you do? He was locked away for so long because of what he could have done, what the authorities feared. But this is the opportunity for you to read for yourself exactly what he did from his perspective and get a nice hardcover book autographed by him, by us. And best of all, though, you're helping out WUSB because your pledge of $100 will fix something that needs fixing around here. For $100, we can probably buy two things that we don't have right now. That's how it works.
Yeah.
631-632-6901.
I'm sorry. And it's funny. You could support community media, community radio in doing this. And we're distinct. We're not like the motion picture companies that wanted to make movies and profit off of his story when he was not allowed to tell it. And that's kind of a good example of the distinction that we are as a community station.
No, that's a great example because the motion picture companies did make a film while he was in prison using his story without his permission. It's the most incredible thing, but it tells you where their character lies. They didn't need him to tell the story and to profit from it. And to also make the story end in a way that it didn't actually end, to basically lie about certain things about a real person. You know, fiction is one thing, but when you're talking about an actual person, that's something completely different. So, what we're talking about here is actual words from the actual person.
Yeah, and our voices, too. Support Off the Wall. Support all the other incredible programming here. Your pledge matters. It is critical that we get some show of support here. We're doing a lot of planning for the future here at the station. We're upgrading a lot of the facilities and as well as maintaining the existing infrastructure, transmitter, and sundry bills you can probably imagine we have as a fully operational community radio station. So 631-632-6901, get these great gifts. We've got the pledge levels for the memberships. We've got other thank you gifts that are part of the regular packages with the membership, the baseline, anything over $90.10 gets you a t-shirt or a sweatshirt, likely branded with the latest WUSB design, and a CD of probably some of the later most recent or maybe last year's or this year's anticipated great music and you get to participate in a lot of other events and opportunities as a member and we're offering the Kevin Mitnick book so that's at $100. So 631-632-6901,
and if you pledge $100 for that book and your payment clears and all that, we will send it out this week. We will send it out personally ourselves this week so it does not get lost in premium hell, as has happened with other radio stations that will remain unnamed in the past.
We're familiar with the idiosyncrasies and the challenges that, you know, it takes when you're wrangling thank you gifts and you know, very limited supply things for an event like this, for a fundraiser. So we will massage and nurture your gift and make sure it is to you in a correct and timely manner.
And because of limited supplies, that's why we cannot offer it past 7 o'clock Eastern time.
That is true.
On this particular day as we are broadcasting live. So if you think you can postpone it, we didn't know we'd even have more of these things. We were actually preparing deliveries of other premiums for the other radio station, and we found these. So once tonight is over, I'm pretty sure we won't have any left. 631-632-6901. Pledge of $100 gets you the hardcover autographed Kevin Mitnick book, Ghost in the Wires, autographed also by Kyle and myself.
That's right.
Unless you specifically say, don't touch that book or put your name on it. People will say that because that might bring the value down a little bit.
It's true.
But if we do sign it, we will sign it with your name because Kevin has already signed them, so he doesn't know your name. He can't go back in time and do that. It'll say 2011 on it because that's when the book came out, and it might seem a little confusing, but it's really not. 631-632-6901. It's very simple. We take all kinds of credit cards. The most important thing, though, is that you support the station however you can. And you don't have to – that's not the only pledge level. As Kyle's been saying, there are many different pledge levels, both higher and lower than $100. The important thing is to call now, 631-632-6901. We don't do this very often, but when we do, it's because we need to. It's because this place needs our support to keep moving forward.
Yeah, and this is a really critical time for us, and we're you know, only here a couple times a year, but this stuff goes to really important parts of what the radio station is about. And I just want to comment, it's really a simple process when you donate. Just a little bit of information about you, billing address, that kind of thing. We take all major credit cards, And I'm pretty sure we can arrange to invoice you or whatever method you need or accommodation. We'll take care of you. Finn's standing by, as we said. So I think we have some other stories though.
Oh,
too,
we do.
Right?
We do actually. Speaking of money and finances and things like that, well, first of all, I want to tell you something that happened over the last day. Actually, you were around when I got a phone call from my bank. My bank just calls me and leaves this message. Can you call us back, please, as soon as possible? I hate getting calls like that. I really do, because it's always something bad.
I really identified when you mentioned this. No, because I don't like the feeling. You get anxious.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When people call you with stern tones and request your call back about some unmentioned matter.
You know, I was on top of a mountain in Newskeet, hanging out with the monks raising German shepherds when my bank called me, on top of a snow-capped mountain, and they're ruining my time out there by calling me because I'm freaking out. I don't know what's wrong. Am I overdrawn? Am I bankrupt? What? And they just, you know, wanted to share some promotion with me, and it was ridiculous. Well, the same basic thing here. This guy leaves a message, freaks me out. I call him back. Oh, I'm the new account representative. Just wanted to introduce myself. You couldn't say that in the voicemail. You had to say, can you call us right away? It's important. It wasn't important. It's a waste of my time. I had to call in the middle of the day and deal with this and tell the guy, yeah, okay, whatever. I'll talk to you sometime when I actually have time. Well, before I called him, though, I wanted to check to see if, in fact, I was overdrawn or some horrible thing was going on. And so I logged in electronically. And by logging in electronically, somehow I agreed to stop paper delivery of my statements and sign up for electronic statements. I don't know how I could have possibly done that. But if you don't look very carefully, you see little boxes are checked. And by simply moving forward, you're agreeing to things you don't want to agree to. I like paper statements. Paper statements have saved my ass many times because you can't get the electronic statements beyond a particular period. And sometimes you need to look something up. Sometimes you need that physical evidence. So now I'm in this state where because I did that, I have to engage in all kinds of correspondence back and forth with all sorts of anonymous entities all around the world saying, please put it back the way it was. I don't want any of this. Just because this meathead decided to call me to introduce himself. So that's my financial adventure for the day.
I've actually had electronic stuff help. Obviously, when you're away, if you're traveling, it's really helpful to be able to get that kind of stuff electronically.
Oh, absolutely,
and five,
yes.
10 years ago, you wouldn't be able to do it. I know it's a total pain. It's implemented poorly.
But not instead. You don't have to have one or the other. You can have both.
Right. Right. I was just saying it is great that it is there, but it shouldn't be your only copy. You should definitely have the choice or have other stuff for critical items too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're always trying to do that. Credit card companies and all kinds of building agencies are always trying to get you to go green. That's how they sell it. They say, go green and have less paper. It's like, you go green. You have less paper inside your own office. Why don't you work on that first? The savings certainly are not passed along to the consumer, that's for sure. And by not having actual paper copies of things, you lose out because you're dependent on them to give you access to something that belongs to you in the first place. And many times they can't even do it. Try looking up, a MasterCard bill from 5 years ago. It's going to be very difficult. Anyway, that's my little spiel for now as far as that goes. Also, speaking of finances, sometimes you realize how messed up this world is with finances. How here we are asking people to call up 631-632-6901, pledging whatever they can afford to keep us going. And people are just throwing money around in other parts of the world like it's nothing. Well, just today, you ever hear of the song American Pie by Don McLean? You will.
Something.
Yeah, that's the
American
one. You got
Chevy
American Pie.
To the levee, It broke because the Army Corps of Engineers didn't build it right, and everybody got flooded.
Mixing Katrina into that,
stand
but
on the roof and the helicopter picking us up, and
you basically
then FEMA coming with the
mixing Don McLean and Spike Lee. Yeah, but it's
okay.
You got the general idea. Today, the lyrics for that song, American Pie, sold for $1.2 million. $1.2 million for a bunch of lyrics. And you know what, folks? Because we're countercultural, counter-revolutionary. No, wait, we're pro-revolutionary. We are going to bring you on this radio station something that's worth $1.2 million. We are going to read you the lyrics to that song. But Kyle, I've taken the liberty of printing you a copy. And here's how it's going to work.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to read the first bit. We'll read the chorus together. You'll read the second bit. Then et cetera, back and forth, like as if we were singing an actual song.
All right.
This, folks, this won't be as good as hearing it in concert, probably. Although, if you've seen Don McLean recently, maybe it will be. But the point is, we're reading you lyrics that are worth $1.2 million, and just asking you to give us a call, 631-632-6901, and pledge something in return. You know, it's a good deal. Okay, here we go. A long, long time ago. I'm going to read this, not like I'm singing, obviously.
But you're reading it in your singing voice.
No, I'm not bringing it in. No, well, actually, if you've heard my singing voice, it's pretty much the same.
Okay.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while.
No,
that's still my line. When it says chorus, that's when we both come in, and then you take over where it says verse two.
Got it.
Music. It's not easy, folks. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. You know, he rhymes step with step. Really? Is that the best he could do? I mean, what else rhymes with step? Prep, maybe? A little more prepped on? That would have been good. All right. I'm sorry. Going back to the song. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside, the day, the music died.
So bye, Miss American Pie.
Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey in rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
Did you write the book of love? And do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so,
mm-hmm.
Now do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real show? Slow.
Real show.
I can't read. Well, I know that you're in love with him, 'cause I saw you dancing in the gym. You both kicked off your shoes. Man, I dig those rhythm and blues. I was a lonely teenage bronken buck.
I'm sorry.
With a pink carnation and a pickup truck, but I knew I was out of luck the day the music died.
I started singing Bye Bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye. Singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Now, for 10 years, we've been on our own. And moss grows fat on a rolling stone. But that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a code he borrowed from James Dean and a voice that came from you and me. Oh, and while the king was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown. The courtroom was adjourned. No verdict was returned. And while Lennon read a book on Marx, the quartet practiced in the park. And we sang dirges in the dark the day the music died. We were singing Bye Bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye.
Singing, this'll be the day that I die.
This'll be the day that I die. By the way, we've just passed $500,000 in worth of the lyrics that we've read so far.
Okay. Helter skelter in a summer swelter. The birds flew off with a fallout shelter. 8 miles high.
The birds flew off with a fallout shelter. What the hell does that mean? I'm sorry. Fallen fast.
It landed foul on the grass. The players tried for a forward pass with the jester on the sidelines in a cast. Now the halftime air was sweet perfume while the sergeants played a marching tune. We all got up to dance. Oh, but we never got the chance. 'Cause the players tried to take the field. The marching band refused to yield. Do you recall what was revealed the day the music died?
We started singing Bye Bye Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye. And singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Let's step into that character for a second, Kyle. Have you ever had whiskey in rye?
I've had rye whiskey.
I'm going to ask the bartender tonight, because I go to a bar every night.
Right.
For whiskey in rye and see what happens. All right. there we were all in one place, a generation lost in space. What a good show that was. Wow. Will Robinson. Hey. With no time left to start again. So come on, Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. Jack Flash sat on a candlestick. Ouch. Wow, that's got to hurt. Lit or unlit, you know?
Yeah.
Because fire is the devil's only friend. Mm. It's not really true, though, is it? I mean, a lot of things are the devil's friend.
It's a little judgy.
Yeah. Oh, and as I watched him on the stage, my hands were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell. And as the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, I saw Satan laughing with delight the day the music died. It doesn't say chorus, but this is the chorus again, so we have to read it together. He was singing, Bye Bye Miss American Pie, drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, and singing, this'll be the day that I die.
I met a girl who sang the blues, and I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. And in the streets, the children screamed, the lovers cried, and the poets dreamed. But no word was spoken. Church bells were all broken. and the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast the day the music died.
And they were singing...
Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee. The levee was dry.
And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing,
this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
And then they do it one more time. They were singing...
Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee. The levee was dry. Good old boys drinking whiskey and rye. And singing, this'll be the day that I die.
All right.
Terrible.
$1.2 million for that.
God.
Wow. And all we're asking for is a measly $100 or $20 or $50 or whatever you can afford. 631-632-6901. Finn,
listen,
you know,
I'm in here, and we got a call. We got a call and a pledge.
Okay.
And, well, we're getting a pledge. And Bobby from Mastic gave us a call to remind us that the jester is Bob Dylan.
No kidding. Wow. So that changes everything then.
I said I would pass that on.
Jester is Bob Dylan.
It's a little rivalry.
You know, even Don McLean won't explain what that song means.
Wow. Because he's scared.
Yeah, I'll never forget, though. I used to listen to that that song. It was one of the first songs I ever heard on WABC AM radio.
WABC.
Yeah. I remember the first time I heard it on FM radio, though. It was the long version, because they had a short version that only went half the distance, and then on the side B of the 45, there was the other half, which no one ever played. But on FM, they played the whole 7 or 8 minute version, and that was, it blew my head, you know, hearing something that sounded much better and that was much longer.
Interesting.
So
you were able to compare because you had recent experiences with both.
Yeah, and I recorded it too on my little cassette recorder.
Of course you did.
Yeah, because I recorded everything back then.
As more young people should.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, there you go. $1.2 million those lyrics sold for today. Obviously, I think the piece of paper they're written on is also part of that deal. So maybe they're worth more because of that. But, hey, we tried, you know? We did the best we could. And and there you go. You know, what other station will give you that?
Yeah, a dramatic. It wasn't even dramatic. It was melodramatic.
Yeah, it was pretty melodramatic, I think.
Yeah.
So 631-632-6901. Maybe this isn't the kind of radio that that you feel you should pledge for, but it's the kind of radio that... you won't hear anyplace else, and that means that something else that you really, really like is also possible. Yeah, with that kind of logic, basically anything is possible. 631-632-6901. Again, Kevin Mitnick Books, $100, autographed by Kevin, autographed by us, personally to you. And we have many, many different pledge levels as well. 631-632-6901. Hey, yeah. Remember the FA Cup? We got to update people on that.
Okay.
It's still going on. We started in August.
What are we, sixth round? That's coming up this month, April?
Well, actually, here's the story. The sixth round proper took place already, but one of the games ended in a tie. And what happens with the FA Cup, when a game ends in a tie, they play the whole game over again in the other team's home arena. And that's how it works for the first however many rounds there are. I think it's something like... 12, 14 rounds. After that, it's the semifinals and the final. And that all takes place at Wembley Stadium in London. So it's very different. So where we stand right now, our team is Aston Villa because they beat our other team, West Bromwich Albion. Aston Villa, we saw that game, Kyle. That's where everybody ran onto the field after they won.
Yeah.
So now Aston Villa is going to be playing the winner of tomorrow's game, which is either going to be Liverpool or Blackburn Rovers. Now, Liverpool is in the Premier League. Blackburn Rovers is in the second tier. Aston Villa, the team that we're now rooting for, is in the first tier as well. Yeah, that's where things stand right now. Actually, I'm trying to get updated on exactly. Yes, Aston Villa... versus either Liverpool or Blackburn Rovers. The other semifinal has already been set, and that's Reading, second tier, versus Arsenal. Now, Arsenal, they are the champions, and it's quite likely they will kick Reading's ass, but hopefully they won't because I like the underdog. And then the final takes place in May. So we're down to the last five teams. So tomorrow, Liverpool plays Blackburn Rovers to decide who plays our team in the semifinals, who plays Aston Villa. And just to run it down really quickly, this started back in August when Kyle picked at random a team known as Nuneaton Griff in the 10th division, 10 tiers down. And, of course, they lost right away, 10-0, to one for each division they're in.
Hey, watch it. Watch it.
Oh, they didn't score a single goal.
They
lost
to had a good spirit.
Coles Hill Town. We followed Coles Hill Town until they lost to Barwell. We followed Barwell until they lost to Altrincham, I believe. Altrincham until they lost to Blythe Spartans. Blythe Spartans until they lost to Hartlepool. Hartlepool until they lost to... I'm sorry, no, they beat Hartlepool. Blythe Spartans until they lost to Birmingham City. Birmingham City until they lost to West Bromwich Albion. And then West Bromwich Albion until they lost to West... actually, no, they beat West Ham United. They lost to Aston Villa. And there you go. That's the whole thing. Starting in August, ending in May. That's quite a competition there. All right, we are just about out of time. And we have no outro because we had to race over here really quickly because somehow we lost track of time. 631-632-6901 is our phone number. Now, Kyle, you're actually opening up the turntable, I see. And you've never done this before, have you?
No, I know what I'm doing. I found our outro. It's right here.
That's a big CD you got there.
Well, yeah, no, it's this fantastic song called Smokes Gets... In Your Eyes. Smoke Gets in Your Eyes.
I know that song. In fact, yeah. That was a hit when I was a kid from another group.
That's right. And now it's yours. Enjoy, everyone. We'll speak with you next time.
631-632-6901. OTW at 2600.com. Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.